So the recording has been started. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to today's at large capacity building working group call taking place on Wednesday, 3rd of February 2016 at 1500 UTC. On today's call we have Tijani Banjema, Cheryl Langdonor, Maureen Hilliard, Harold Arkham, Olivier Crepon-Leblanc, Hiranush Vardanyan, and Elizabeth Andrews. We have apologies from Ali El-Mashal and Gisela Gruber. And from staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Liang, Harry Agnew, and myself, Yejim Nazar. So finally, I'd like to remind everyone to state their names while speaking for transcript purposes. Over to you, Tijani. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yashim. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is our, in fact, second capacity building call. Unfortunately, we couldn't work last time because there was a big problem, technical problems. So we are doing it again. So today we will discuss our program for the next period, for 2016. As you know, in 2015 we had a full program. We did exactly what we planned to do. I think it was a successful year for capacity building. Today we will try to assess a little bit what we did in 2015 and program what we have to do for 2016. I will not speak more about the introduction, and I will go to the second point on the agenda, which is moment. Lot of screens, lot of okay. The fourth point of the agenda is the assessment of the one. The first point is the 2015 program, and I a little bit spoke about it. We started by programming the first 6 months. We implemented it fully. We managed to have the right speakers for each one. We changed a little bit for the evaluation. We used the manual evaluation sheet that we used before, and that didn't show a real success, in fact, because people don't care and don't go and feel it after the webinar. We changed it into an online, more or less, evaluation through the Adobe Connect. And Ariel will speak about that later. Also, we tried to introduce something which is a little bit attractive for people, and also which give us an idea about their commitment and their are they following really the webinar? Did they benefit from this work? And it was the quiz. I think that last year, the work was conducted more or less smoothly, without any real problem. We didn't have technical problem. We didn't have any other kind of problem during the implementation of the program. The only concern that I still have, and we still altogether have, is the attendance. The attendance is not what we want, what we hope. It is more or less the same number, and more or less the same configuration, the same percentage for per rally. So last time remember in our face-to-face meeting in Dublin, we asked ourselves why. And we didn't have any answer, any clear answer, other than people are perhaps busy, they don't have time, and also perhaps they don't see a lot of benefit in following the webinars. Even if in a previous survey they said they are very interested. So perhaps there is other problems. We tried to solve the problem of timing. Since we are now doing it on two different times, based on an analysis done by Gisela for the best times for the whole world. And I didn't hear anyone complaining about time. Even in the evaluation that we are doing now, there is not a real concern about timing. But it is always the same, so I may conclude that this is the maximum number we may have from the ALSs. Especially when we know how many ALSs are really active in each shallow. So it is perhaps related to that. But let's say we have two choices. Stopping doing the webinars because that attendance is not that good, or continuing for the benefit of those who are interested and try to make the number growing if we can. And today, I will ask you to help me, to help the group, to find perhaps just to make the webinars more attractive. I will stop here. If there is any question, any remark about this evaluation, small evaluation? Any remark? Any question? Otherwise, I will go to the next point on the agenda, which is the second point is the evaluation of the tools, and Ariel will make this presentation. Ariel, are you here? Ariel?
Hi, Tijani. This is Ariel Leon. For the record, can you hear me well?
Yes, I hear you very well.
Thank you. So with Yashin's help, we have the slides on the screen, and so I will give everyone a brief kind of analysis of what we have accomplished for the 2015 capacity building webinar. It's not really an evaluation of the tool per se, it's more like using the numbers we gathered through the tool to provide you an overview how well we have done for this webinar program. So as you can see, the slides, I know some people are not on the AC room, and if you're interested, you can download the slide from the agenda page, as a FYI. The first slide you see is the participation rate of people that are using the tool function in the AC room to provide feedback. And as you can see, there are two lines on this slide. The lighter blue one on the top showcases the number of the people that are participating in the pop quiz, and it's around 57% of the webinar participants that actually participated in the quiz. And then the second lower darker line shows the number of the percentage of people that use the pool function to provide feedback at the end. And the average is about 44% of the participants. And just to give you an understanding how many people participated in the webinar, we have around 20 people participated during the past five webinars that we start using this methodology to soliciting feedback. So the sample size is not that big, but can still give you a kind of a picture how actively people actually use this tool to engage with the webinar. And then the second slide you see is in terms of people's feedback on the timing. And we ask people whether the timing of the webinar is too early, too late, or just right. And then the orange bar you see is shows people who are saying the webinar is just right, the timing of it. And in fact, more people say the 1300 UTC timing is just right compared to the 2000 UTC. But in general, more than majority of the participants says the timing of the webinar is fine. And then the next one shows you the people's feedback on the technology used for the webinar. And except for three webinars, one in September, one in November, and one in December, that some participants says the technology is just sufficient or below sufficient. 82% on average says the technology used are either very good or good. And then the next one is about participants' feedback on the speakers. And in fact, 92% on average said the speakers have extremely strong or strong mastery of topic, except for two webinars that a very small minority of the participants has the speakers only have a sufficient or below sufficient mastery of the topic. And then the last question is about the participants' overall satisfaction with the webinar. And as you can see, 95% on average says they're extremely satisfied or satisfied with the webinar. And in fact, only one webinar in November, some people said they're just moderately satisfied or slightly satisfied, but it's still a very small minority. And here, this slide shows you the correlation among people's satisfaction with the webinar in comparison with the speaker's mastery of the topic and the technology used in the webinar and the timing of the webinar. And this is a little like a mathematical presentation of it, but the correlation between people's extremely satisfaction with the webinar and the speaker's mastery of the topic is the closest. It's 0.87. And then the technology used is 0.72. And the timing is 0.24. So that means if the speakers have a strong mastery of the topic, then people's satisfaction of the webinar is really, really high. And then the timing is less relevant in a way. And this is a kind of a snapshot of our participants' participation in the pop quiz, and this pie chart shows the accuracy rate of those pop quizzes. And in fact, only three webinars use the pop quiz format. One used the format, but it's not really pop quiz, so I didn't include that in the analysis. And it really varies. November webinar on GNSO policy development process, only close to 9% of pop quiz answers are incorrect. But then for the December one on the large website and the glossary, close to 40% of the webinar pop quiz questions were answered wrong. So that really varies from webinar to webinar. And just to give you kind of a recap of what we have analyzed, the first point is since we have been using this tool in the AC room to gather feedback and encourage engagement from the participants, we have seen a dramatic improvement in terms of the feedback we have received from webinar attendees, given that when we used the survey tool, only two people in the whole year participated. Now it's close to 50% of people from the webinar participants that provided feedback. So that's a great improvement, and I would recommend that we continue using that method. And then second point, in terms of people's participation in pop quiz and evaluation, we can see that audience participated a little bit more in pop quiz than in the evaluation survey. And there are many factors that may include some people drop off towards the end of the webinar, so they didn't get a chance to participate in the evaluation, or some of the evaluation questions that are the same, because there's a lot of, we actually use the same questions for every webinar, and maybe some people feel it's a repetition of questions, so they don't bother to do that every single time. So that some factors that may affect why people do pop quiz more than the evaluation. And then the third point about timing, it seems that both the 1300 UTC and 2000 UTC work for the great majority of the audience, but 1300 UTC seems to perform a little bit better. And then the fourth point is that based on our feedback from the audience, the choice of the speakers and the technology used in the webinar are very successful, and we should continue that trend. And then the fifth point, in terms of the correlation, it seems that the satisfaction of webinar is most positively correlated to the speaker's mastery of topics, and then technology comes the second, and timing is not as important as the other two factors. And then lastly, in terms of pop quiz accuracy, it reflects somehow the audience level of engagement with the webinar. If they pay more attention to the webinar, probably they will answer the questions right than incorrect. But there's not really a clear correlation can be drawn from it, because some of the questions may be a little bit tricky than the others. So it may make it difficult to audience to answer it correctly. So that's just a brief analysis of our performance for the 2015 capacity building webinar. So I will stop here and take any questions or comments. Thank you.
Tajani, this is Heidi. If you're speaking, you're on mute. Yesham, have we lost Tajani?
Hi, Tajani. Can you hear me?
There's Tajani.
Now I hear you. Now you can hear me now?
Yes, we can perfectly hear you, Tajani.
Very good, very good. I am sorry I was muted. I was speaking for myself. So thank you very much, Ariel, for this presentation. Yes, Cheryl, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Tijani. Cheryl, for the record. And thank you, this Ariel. This is a very useful, very clear analysis. Just to pick up on the point that I was going to make earlier when Tijani did his introduction, but that Maureen also pointed out in the chat regarding the 1300 time slot being 3 a.m. for her. An analysis that would be interesting would be the parts of our world that is coming in at this time. I'm still highly suspicious that we are simply not getting people from whole sections of our global outreach, other than the stalwarts and those who are engaged in the working group rather than the webinars. In other words, you know, those who are here in this meeting from Asia Pacific and who would be here, you know, by hell or high water regardless of the time, are the only ones who are probably turning up to the webinars as well. So I'm a little doubtful that regarding our suitability of the timing for the ALSs is as accurate as it could be without the analysis of have we actually penetrated to those areas where some of these timing choices may in fact be more satisfactory. I mean, the 2000 UTC is likely to be more satisfactory than 1300 UTC for part of our world, and it may be that we, for whatever reason, have not successfully marketed these webinars in that area, or it may be, in the case of Asia Pacific, for example, that they are feeling that these webinars are somewhat duplicative or less attractive for whatever reason, topic, timing or whatever, I'm not sure, than the ones that are coming out of the Asia Pacific hub. So I think even more data and analysis could be useful is where I'm coming from on this. But very, very handy and certainly gives us a lot to work with. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Your voice wasn't very clear for me, but I understood that you are speaking about the timing, and especially for Asia-Pacific region. I understand very well, and I'd like to tell you that despite this fact, the Asia-Pacific people attended more than other regions. So the Asia-Pacific wasn't the region where the attendance was the poorest. But I'd like to take into account what you said and what I saw in the chat. On the chat here, Maureen said that it is at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is impossible for them. So I try to make another turn of Doodle, asking all the ALSs to tell us what time for them. And we'll try to find the best two times so that we can alternate. The pain will be, if you want, shared between all participants. But also we'll try to avoid any time which is really painful for a region. Thank you very much for your remark and for your encouragement. I saw a lot of the comment on the chat. I'd like to now to go to the next.
Kishani?
I saw Heidi. Yeah, Heidi, please. Yes. Heidi.
Yes. Thank you very much. And again, many thanks to Ariel for this very well researched presentation. I wanted to just take a few minutes to note a couple of other activities that these webinars contain, and that is the recent development of ebooks on the webinars. These have been produced by Glenn McKnight and Maureen Hilliard. We will be posting them very shortly, and perhaps that's something that for the next season we would like to have evaluation on as well. And then the other point is that I Can Learn has been producing online courses to coordinate with some of these courses. And I also want to take this opportunity to let everyone know that Jeff Dunn has left ICANN, and we now have Betsy Andrews, who is on the call, and she has she joined ICANN last year, and she has been in close contact with Jeff to transition. And Tajani, may she just take 1 minute to introduce herself, please?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes.
Hello,
Betsy.
Yes, thank you. Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for the invitation to this call. I welcome the opportunity to learn more about what you do. So I'm glad to be here. And also, I just want to say that Jeff did a great job setting up the resource that we have in I Can Learn. But I'm really excited to broaden it and to market it so that we can reach and benefit a wider audience. And I think that your working group is a really great opportunity to do that. So I look forward to finding the right process to turn the content of your webinars into courses that we can then put on I Can Learn and anyone can access it for free. But also speaking to the point about the timings of the webinar, I can tell you from which region students access webinar information, and I can tell you, I Can Learn course information. So if we make the webinars into courses, I can give you very specific details about who uses that, and that might help you as you make decisions about timings and what kind of content to provide on down the road.
Thank you Thank you very much for your readiness to help us. I'd like to tell you that we already had a very good cooperation with Jeff, but we didn't reach the results yet. We agreed with him in Dublin in his first meeting that all our webinars will be put on the platform, on the iCanLearn platform, so that people who weren't able to attend the webinar can go and retrieve the webinar completely. And he agreed 100%, and I don't know where he is. Unfortunately, he left. But I am happy to work with you to make it happen, to make it a reality in the future. And we will give the link to all our ARSs so that they can go and retrieve all the webinars we do when they are not able to attend. Thank you again.
Right.
And yes, I am happy to work with you and to make it really happen. Also, thanks a lot for Glenn for the ebook. It is another way also to retrieve more or less the original, but it is not the same because it will be only the text or the pictures that you will it will permit. While for the iCanLearn platform, I hope that you will have all the sound, everything, audio, video, text, everything. I see Maureen has her hand up. Maureen, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Tijani. This is Maureen for the record. Thank you, Heidi, for mentioning the e-books, and I'm sorry about the noise outside. I think that Glenn and I, when we were discussing the webinars and the number of people that it might have that potential for outreach and how we could actually improve it, was the actual purpose behind the e-books in the first place. But in saying that, one of the things, difficulties that we had was actually getting appropriate information from some of the presenters afterwards, because where there were technical difficulties in the webinars, I'd be very interested in getting feedback about the sessions where there were technical difficulties. And when I was actually looking at doing an ebook on those sessions, I actually had to write to the presenters and ask for further information. Unfortunately, I haven't had any feedback from any of those people that I actually asked for information back on, and I wanted to see them personally at the next meeting. But I welcome Betsy and her the ideas. The sorts of things that you're talking about are exactly the sorts of things that we were sort of like asking about. We just need to have other means by which we can present the information from these webinars. They've all been absolutely brilliant, and I think that, it's just the way in which we can present it in other ways to people who can't make it at the actual webinar presentation itself. But I also think Asia-Pacific, sections of Asia Pacific are sort of like disadvantaged in a way because of the timing, but at the same time, with working with iCanLearn and any other ways in which we can present the material that is actually raised in these webinars, we've just got to get the information out. It's just too valuable, and I think we're missing out on a lot if we can't think of ways to get it out differently. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Very helpful. And I'd like to thank you and Glenn for this initiative and for proposing to use it for the webinar. May I ask you, Maureen, and perhaps Glenn also, to perhaps develop a procedure that we can distribute to the ALSs, giving them the way to use it, how they can use it for the webinars. I think it will be a helpful thing something very easy, very step-by-step, so that it will be usable, people will use it really. And thank you again. Any other question, any remark? Otherwise, I will give the floor to Terry to speak a little bit about the quiz, which is a new thing that we introduced in our webinars. Terry, you are here? I see you are on the internet.
Hi, Tijani. This is Terry. Were you talking about the pop quiz portion?
Yeah, please.
Thank you. We have asked each presenter prior to the webinars to submit up to 3 questions that we can ask during the webinars, and we call this our pop quiz portion. And they're able to ask either before, during, or after their presentation. It actually is a way to help keep the audience engaged. And the feedback that I recall seeing from the webinars is the participants were actually liked the pop quiz portion because it did test their knowledge on what they had just learned. It actually goes over quite well.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Katie, for this for your presentation. I think that it was a good thing. First of all, it was something that gave more fun, if you want. It is not very tough. It was very, it changed a little bit our way to make the webinar run. And also, it gives an idea about how people are following the webinars and perhaps how they are benefiting from it. Is there any remark about the quiz? A quiz? Okay, I don't see any remark, so we'll continue doing it. It is a good thing that we started using, and we'll continue using it. So the next point on the agenda will be now the programming for 2016. You have seen and participated in the establishment of this table. The table that the team is now putting on the Adobe Connect, where we have the topics proposed. Yes. Now we have. No, I don't have it. Not yet. No, not this one. Not this page, Yashim. So, we already have several topics. I see that from the comments on this page that there is a lot of support for some of the subjects. I think that all the subjects are not, if you want, are interesting, but we have to prioritize because we have only, for the next 6 months, we have only 6 webinars that we can do. And yet we are late for January, so we will be doing perhaps 2 webinars in February, so that we don't diminish the number of webinars for this 6 months. Hashim, you don't have the page.
Hi, Tijani. This is Yashim speaking. I'll be shortly getting the topics.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you.
So, I will start by speaking about the first one. The first one on the list is network security issues. It was proposed by someone that I don't know, who is Hamza Haji. For sure, the network security is something interesting, but is it the most interesting thing for the ANSs? We will go through all the topics, and then we will try to prioritize and choose the first 6 one, the first 6 topics that we will use for the first 6 months of 2016. The second one is IPv6 implementation. The third one is a very interesting one. It is about the registrar agreement version 2013 proposed by Holly. It requires how compliance is enforced and lessons learned after the first round of the new GTLDs. Next one is zero rating and net neutrality. This is a subject very, very interesting. It is, if not, it is the discussion going on now on the internet fora in the world. But you have to see if it is the most important and interesting for the ALSs. Net neutrality challenges and zero rating. The next one is the responsibility of registrars and management of CCTLDs towards new GTLD development. Personally, I find this topic, very wide, and perhaps we may divide it into two separate parts, but we will discuss it later together. Next one is trainings for ISP, and this is what I didn't understand very well. What is the, for the ALSs to train the ASPs? The next one, and this one was proposed by Banda. The next one proposed by Beran, the CCTLD delegation and re-delegation. I understand why she asked for this, because she had a lot of problems to re-delegate the CCTLD of her country. The next one is IXP, proposed by WASA. The next one is the at-large working groups, best practice and chairing organization participation. Proposed by Heidi. The next one is how ALSs can be more engaged in the at-large and ICANN, an ALS guide to participants. Heidi also. Ah, good. Now you have the display on the screen. Huh? I will continue and then we'll come back and discuss. The next one is the IANA transition. What it means to at-large and ICANN. ID2. And the last one is update on the CCT review team, also proposed by Heidi. So, now, first of all, is there any preliminary remark? I don't see any remark now.
Tijani, it's Olivier.
Yes, Olivier, please.
Yeah, thanks very much, Tijani. Olivier Capanablos speaking for the transcript. I have listened to the list that you've just given. I do have a few concerns about capacity building in such a wide sense that it doesn't pertain to something that is within ICANN's mandate. I often see capacity building as being the ability to bring our ALSs to a position where they can better and more effectively participate in ICANN processes. And I have concerns that some of the topics that are presented here have absolutely nothing to do with that mission. So I was just going to flag this. Thank you.
Olivier, I frankly didn't understand well your point. You said that normally the capacity building is there to help the ALSs to better participate in ICANN and approach. And I think that you said that the webinars is not the right way to do that. Am I right?
No, that's not what I meant, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. What I meant is that some of the topics of these webinars which are proposed are topics which have nothing to do with ICANN.
Okay. Understand. Okay. Shireen?
Thank you. It's Cheryl for the record. And hopefully my audio is better. I've got my microphone much close to my mouth this time. I tend to agree with Olivier in terms of the intention about of capacity building, as I understood our mandate for this particular working group. So, for example, you know, whilst training for ISCs is I guess, yeah, it's within-ish. IXP, Internet Exchange Points, it's kind of more general technology and the sorts of things that probably belong in a topic that isn't specifically supposedly capacity building for at-large structures. That doesn't mean I don't think they're worthy topics. I think they are, and they're probably quite reasonable for Internet Society chapters, for example, to be looking at, and perhaps parts of the ICANN community, such as the CCTLD community, to be particularly engaged with. But I'm just a little concerned that we're stretching the mandate from an at-large structures point of view. Now, that also said, I am very aware, looking at that list, that with the exception of the ones that were suggested by Heidi, which I think are holistic and will fit in with a general interest-raising and awareness-raising program, some of these are very, very specific. That does not mean that we shouldn't do them, far from it, but we need to be aware that for very specific topics, we may end up with very different expectations and audiences, and that we might also get very different, even regional interests. So, I think, as exciting as IPv6 implementation would be, for example, for Olivier to be involved with, I'm not sure that we'll have a very large number of at-large structures coming to a capacity building webinar in the at-large context on that topic. But in fact, IPv6 implementation is more relevant to working within an ICANN mandate than Internet Exchange Points. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I do understand the worry of Olivier, and that you just confirmed. I think that, yes, first of all, this will bring back the proposal I made in the ILAC earlier about having a charter for each working group. Because the capacity building may be the capacity building working group may be chartered to help the ALSs better participate in ICANN and at large, and also maybe chartered also to raise their awareness about the network in general. We are speaking about ICANN, about the internet. So if they understand better how internet is working, it's good, even if it is not in the remit of ICANN. So this is another discussion that we can have, and we can have it while putting a charter for this working group. And I will propose it for you first. If you agree, I will propose it to ICANN, to ALAC, and we will make a charter for our working group, and we will put the mission of our working group on Friday. Nevertheless, I think that the topics proposed here are mostly related to ICANN work. There are some. IXP is not related directly to ICANN work, that's right. But IPv6 is related, more or less. even if it is not the daily work, if you want. Yes, I can distribute the addresses to the RIR, but it is important that we raise awareness of our ANSs about the importance of the transition to IPv6, so that they can perhaps replicate it in their country and try to raise awareness of the community there, so that the transition may happen, which is in the benefit of the use of internet. But yes, this is a discussion that you can have. And first of all, today we will have this discussion because we will have to prioritize those topics to choose six only. So I will, if there is not other remarks on our hands, I will go to those topics one by one together with you and try to have your feedback about what is, or perhaps I will ask you. No, we'll go through them one by one, and I will ask you about your point of view. Either take it for the first six one or no. So the first one is about the network security. Is it a topic that the ANSs are in need now? My point of view, no. Because when we speak about the security of the network, we then speak about the DNSSEC, and this is something that we can have an webinar on. But there is not only the DNSSEC. There are all the other aspects of the security of the network that we will address. Do you want it to be as wide as that? Or if there is a need to speak about the security of the network, shall we speak about the DNSSEC only? The floor is yours. Or shall we drop it from the list? Cheryl, yes. So I don't see any reaction. Shall I go to the second one? May I say that if you are not for this topic, you don't speak, and I go to the next one. When you find it interesting, you raise your hand or you make a BNT. Is it okay for you? Okay. So the next one will be moment. One is IPv6 implementation. So what is your what do you think about this topic? No reaction. So I go to the next one, which is the RAA, what is required, and how the compliance is enforced, and lessons learned from after the first round of the new GTLDs. I think this is an interesting subject. Olivier. They are on the screen, Olivier. You don't see them? Olivier.
No, Tejan, it's Olivier speaking. I don't see them. I'm going to have to relaunch my Adobe Connect. I'm sorry.
you can make it on full screen. That is the option.
Yeah, but for some reason, it shows me a blank screen. So, I don't know.
Sorry for that. Okay.
Tejan?
Yes, please.
Cheryl here. Just very aware that, for example, Cyrenus just asked what is RAA, and that was certainly one of the topics that I would think would have a relatively narrow audience because you're either involved in the contractual compliance aspects of what ICANN does, interested and concerned about it, or like Siren or Shugo, okay, they're letters, so what? That's one that whilst it is quite meritorious to help our at-large structures and our rank and file members understand and become more engaged when these topics come up in working groups, etc., as they do from time to time. But it's one of those that's an extraordinarily hard sell unless you've already dipped your toe in the water. So I think we've got a lot of different approaches we have to take for the different topics, and we need to be also very aware that the attraction of some topics are going to be very different to very different types of at-large structures and very different types of at-large structure members. So, yeah, I think what we need here is generality and variety, but Sirinush, the RIA is all about the contractual agreements that are put out with the registries, and it's extremely important. It is something that one can get quite passionate and even quite excited about. And certainly needs to be marketed properly, I think. Thanks. Sorry to intervene, Shani.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I think that as it is formulated now, it seems really, you're right, it will not be something that can be digested. But I think that it is our duty to introduce more or less to the ALSs this contract, if you will, this agreement, so that they understand, because everyone can become a registrar, everyone, if they want, for sure, because it is a way to enter into this market, and we notice that this market is more or less, I will not say restricted, but it is much more in the north and almost zero in the south. So to explain them the contract or the agreement, and to explain them that there is an compliance process, and also to explain them how this, especially after the first round of the new GTLDs, there is more opportunities to become a registrar, since there is more registries, more and more registries. So I think that perhaps we can formulate it in another way and speak more about introduction of the RAA to the ALSs, introduction of this agreement. I don't know, it is, in my point of view, it is a pity that we don't do anything about the RAA, especially now. Because, as I said, the more you have GTLDs, the more you will have need of those registers. Any other comment about this particular topic? Okay. So I will keep it as is, and we will try to see if because I see other topics that everyone will be happy with. The next one is this one you will tell me, it is not related to ICANN. Zero rating, net neutrality. It is not directly related, but it is related to internet. But yes, I understand that it is not the first priority, the most important subject that we can deal with for our analysis. Next one is responsibility of this one it is this is the topic that I won't be able to explain how, not how, but the importance and the necessity to do it for our ANSs. Responsibility of registrant and management of CCTLDs toward new GTLD and development. Is there any comment about this particular subject? I don't see anyone. Okay, Olivier. Good.
Yeah, so you've got Olivier supporting.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, Tijani, it's Olivier. If I may just add, it is quite correct to say that the way CCTLDs are run is very different from each other. They're all very much independent. Some of them are run as associations. Some of them are run by the government. Some of them are run by not-for-profit organizations, some by universities, etc. But it is, I would say, it is particularly interesting to bring further information to our end users and really make that distinction between CCTLDs and GTLDs and the way registries differ from the GTLD world and the CCTLD world. What is the difference as far as registrars are concerned and as far as registries are concerned? Because there is a difference. And in fact, there are many differences. And I think that's one of the things that we need to let them know. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I was dropped. So I saw some support to this topic, responsibility of the registrants, and management of the CCTLDs towards new GTLD development. The next one will be training of ISPs. So I would like someone to explain me what is it, what is that, what is the interest of this topic. Someone can tell me? Do you find it important, interesting? ISP training. So, there is no... Yes, Maureen?
Thank you, Tijani. There has been some discussion already on the list about that topic, about ISPs and... for example, for me in the Pacific, and Harold has mentioned in Laprallo, similarly in Africa, that there are issues for ISPs with regards to capacity building and compliance with regulations, etc. So I guess it's like being more focused on what areas we might cover, but I think there is some particular relevance. Well, personally, for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments on it? We have Maureen who is supporting.
Just note Olivier's point in the chat where he asks, how do ISPs intersect with ICANN's mandate?
Yeah, he's right. I share his question. So, any other comment, please? No other comment? Okay. We'll go ahead.
I was going to support what Cheryl has said when she made her intervention a while ago, mentioning that, these are very valid topics. And they are very important for capacity building. The concern I have is that we're really in a narrow mandate here, and perhaps these are topics that the Internet Society should be tackling. And, they have the answers, and they have training material for this, and they could do webinars about this. And there are other organizations that can do webinars about this. But it doesn't – ISPs – the number of registrars and registries that are also ISPs is probably quite a small number. But as far as ICANN is concerned, ICANN does not deal with content, does not deal with connectivity. It's explicitly mentioned in many places. And so we are, I wouldn't mind. I'd love to have webinars on this, but if we have a limited amount of webinar time and space and also the costs associated with running such calls, I think we might be doing this outside our mandate.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Olivier, for your comment. I share your point of view. I said it from the beginning. And since there is not another comment on it, I will go to the next one, which is proposed by Beran, CCTLD delegation and re-delegation. She added before IANA transition, but I don't know why it is before and after. It is also after, she said after IANA transition. I know that Iran had a big problem about the redelegation of their CCTLDs, and I think that's why she is asking about a webinar that explains the process for the delegation, since there is not a procedure step by step for the redelegation. Yes, Olivier, and then Cheryl.
Thanks very much, Tijani. Olivier Capanoplon speaking. And I'd say on this topic, it is a very small topic out of the whole range of topics that are out there. You know, the number of CCTLD redelegations and delegations per year can probably be counted on the fingers of one hand. But that said, it's one of these areas which very few people know about. And I think a lot say, well, ICANN should do something about this. But ICANN cannot do something about this. There are certain rules that have been put together for CCTLD delegation, redelegation, and there's a whole process. And I would say it would be helpful for our members to learn about these rules. I don't know whether there would be a difference before and after IANA stewardship transition. I have a feeling there probably is not going to be a difference, but maybe there will be, since, of course, with the U.S. government staying, stepping back, they are not going to be part of that process anymore. But that would really be, I think it would be a helpful webinar. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Thank you. This is a topic that, when it is an issue that is, as Olivier outlined, poorly understood, even by people in the CCTLD communities. It's an issue that, of course, is in a better position to be discussed and explained since the CCNSO's work on the framework of interpretation for RFC 1591, which is the core of all of this, has been completed. And so we're probably in a good position to do something that I've personally been rather keen on having for the record somewhere, and that is a simple, easy to understand review of how a delegation and redelegation is carried out and what the limitations are. It's one of those hot topics for people who are interested in it, and even those who are interested in it rarely understand the complexities and the specifics of the process. I would like to see this happen. I would like to, however, see this happen as a webinar that particularly involves Bart and some of the team out of the CCNSO, because it is integral that it comes not just as a pseudo-political discussion and debate on desire, which it can quickly degenerate into, but rather more is built on the very specifics of RFC 1591, the Government Advisory Committee advice on this matter, and there's several documents over the years of ICANN that is relevant there, and most recently the Framework of Interpretation work that's gone through the board only late last year. So it's a big yes from me, but it's one that I think desperately needs to be more than just a webinar. It's one of those that comes up periodically, and certainly a discussion I've personally tutored a significant number of people on this topic, because it is so important to whole countries and whole sections of community within country. So it's one that if we could have some form of archival and I can learn outcome on, would be particularly important to have that treatment as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you. Yes, perhaps it will need more than one webinar and more than this kind of capacity building. But perhaps we may start by this webinar and make something that will be perhaps useful and helpful for everyone. Any other comment on this? No. The next one, yes. Who was to speak? I saw a hand and then... No one. Okay. The next one is IXP, Internet Exchange Point. This is the kind of webinar that Livy spoke about at the beginning. Any comment? I don't see any hand. I think this is the most out of the scope. Yes, Cheryl. Olivier, pardon. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Tijani. Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. I just wanted to note that the Internet Society has a very extensive IXP, Internet Exchange Point, program with paperwork and details and things that are related to this. And I think they've even done webinars on IXP, so we could perhaps just point WAFA to those IXP webinars. They're very helpful indeed. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Olivier. I want to tell you that WAFA is expert in IXP. She thought that it is good for the ALS, for people who are not aware about it, but... I understand very well your point of view, and I had the same feeling that this is not something that it cannot have any priority for our capacity building working our capacity building program. Cheryl.
Thank you. I agree with this this approach, but I do think it's important that we also make sure in our wiki spaces and in our tools for outreach to our at-large structures, that where perfectly good resources on topics exist, and this is an example of that, the package that is available from the IXP group in ISOC world is extraordinarily valuable. So we shouldn't ever go into reinventing wheels. And so when material exists, we don't necessarily need to run a program, but we should certainly show links and, where possible, point people to existing and valued resources. And this is one of those topics where that certainly is the case. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Any other comment on that? Now we are 12 minutes beyond our time. I will propose you that we will have a look to the four last items or topics proposed by Heidi. The two first ones are about our processes, and the two final ones are about content. So let's speak about the two first ones. One is about the working groups, at-large working groups, the practices, etc. And the second is how LSS can be more engaged. So I think that those webinars will be of help for our LSS. What do you think about that? Please tell me so that we can advance, we can go faster. Do you think that they are interesting? Is there any degree? Good. Okay. So we will take them. Those two. Okay. Very good. Let's now go to the two last one. One is about Ayana transition, what it means for at large and for ICANN. I think this is something that we need to speak about since we are at almost the end of the process of the preparation for the transition. And I think that we will have at least one webinar, and perhaps I will propose to have it soon, because it is now, it is actuality, but after it will be already done. So in my point of view, it's an important item and an important topic. And the last one is an update on the CCT review team. The update on CCT review team will be something, in my point of view, if we do it for the ALS, something very light. We will explain about this review team. We'll explain to people what is this review team, what it do, etc., what it does, etc. We will not go in deep about the funding of this review team. What do you think about that? Any hand? Yes, Olivier?
Thank you, Tijani. Olivier Clapin-Leblanc speaking. For one, I think it shouldn't be called update on the CCT review team, because I don't think it will mean anything to anybody who doesn't know what the CCT review team is. So we'd obviously have to go. We'd have to call the name, detail it a bit more. I think it's a good topic. The INA transition, you mentioned doing it as soon as possible. I don't know, should this be done as part of the webinar? Set of webinars, or should this be a one-off that the ALAC decides to put together? I certainly know that there's going to be some big question mark about the accountability track, and I think that Alan has suggested that there would be a webinar which he would do where he can ask pertinent questions, specifically when it comes down to the parts of the accountability proposal where we have to vote, or where the ALAC will have to vote. So there needs to be good feedback from our community. So I'm not sure whether we need another thing on IANA transition right now as a webinar of the capacity building working group, because the explaining what the IANA transition is, we've already done a year ago, and that I think it's still very valid. Explaining what the project or what the proposal is and how it comes together with the accountability proposal will definitely be interesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Olivier. I saw the Heidi has her hand up. You want to speak, Heidi?
Tijani, thank you very much. I just wanted to, as I noted in the chat, that the CCT review team call, and thank you very much, Olivier, that of course would need to be changed out of the acronym, but that one would need to be in June, because Margie Milam, who was leading that from staff, said that there would be probably not that many updates before then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Heidi. I have two comments. The first one about what Olivier just said regarding the IANA transition. And I said soon, I don't mean now, the first one, because we need to finish the work of the CCWG, and then we will try, the title is very clear, what it means to at large, what it means to ICANN. So it is different from the webinar that we will do to the ALAC people who will vote. We will talk to ALAC people about the finding of the group, about the details of every point, while here we will not speak about this at all. We'll say this transition with the accountability mechanisms will have this effect on at large and this effect on ICANN. This is the aim of this webinar, as I see it. And I think it is different from what we will do now. I want it to be done, this one, after Marrakesh, but not the last one. As for the review team, Heidi, I don't think we have to speak about the findings to our ANS. We have first have to explain them what is consumer trust, what is consumer choice, and why we need this kind of review team, and in which framework it comes. I think this is the aim of this webinar, not to give them an update about the finding. This is my point of view. I may be wrong. So please speak up. And in any case, I see that there is a traction to accept four topics. Yes, Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Tejani. Olivier Capanoblo speaking. And so I note that, and this, my current understanding is as follows. Maybe Heidi will be able to correct me, and you'll be able to correct me on this, but my understanding is Margie Milam would be providing an actual update of what the CCT, Consumer Trust Review Team, will have achieved by then and what its mandate is. What you're saying is that our at-large structures don't even have the basic knowledge and understanding of what consumer trust actually is, and so we need to have a first webinar that comes down to the basics of what is consumer trust in the context of the ICANN mandate. Is that what you're both saying?
That is exactly
Johnny, this is Heidi.
Heidi, please.
Yes, I don't know if Margie would be the one. I mean, obviously, we could ask her. I was thinking it would be more Carlton and Kylie who would present that for the CTT part. For the consumer trust intro, we have some, I mean, we have ALSs that are consumer organizations, and we would most likely need to look for people who could give the basics. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Heidi and Olivier. So I think, first of all, first decision we can decide now is to pick those four topics proposed by Heidi in the way that we discuss now, of course. And for the others, since we are late, I have to hurry up. I saw that there is traction for two other webinars, one about responsibility of registrars and management of CCTLDs towards new GTLD development. I think that we have to change the title. It is not very clear. It is a little bit ambiguous, but I saw that there is traction for it. And the second one is the CCTLD delegation and redelegation. Am I right? So four webinars of Heidi, and those two about the delegation and delegation, and about the registrars and the CCLDs.
Tijani Cheryl here. That's a start, and there is no reason, for example, with that delegation redelegation topic, that it couldn't be of CLDs. We haven't had many issues raised about delegation, redelegations of GTLDs, but in the post-new GTLD world, that may not be the case anymore. So the same basic precepts of people understanding the differences would apply. So we could work that one. I also want to point out that we need to make sure these things are timed, and I don't mean during a 24-hour cycle, but timed within the ICANN cycle at a time where more of our at-large structures are likely to be able to join. So I want to take a fairly careful look at which ones are done when at our next meeting. Thanks.
thank you very much. So, Cheryl, pardon me, but I'd like to tell me if you are for having this webinar for those, for this first series of webinars, or do you have another point of view?
I'm agreeing with the topics that have been put forward. That's not a problem. It seems to me, by my counting, you've got six solid topics. In fact, one or two of the others may end up getting a Guernsey as well. But at least we can start planning on it. I'm just keen to make sure that which one is done when is carefully orchestrated as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl. I think that now, since we are really late, we have to stop this teleconference. But before terminating it, I would like to ask you to continue this discussion on the list. We will send again the list of topics to the list, so that people who are not here today can also give their point of view. And I want you to express clearly how do you select six of them, or do you have another perhaps topic that you may add, and that other people will agree on it. So since we cannot now make the last choice, we will continue this on the list for 1 week, because we have to start for February the first one. So we will send this list of topics to the list, ask people who are not on the call to give their point of view, and ask you also to rank the first six topics that you prefer. Is it okay? Action item, so for the staff. And if you agree on that, if there is not any comment on it, thank you very much for attending. Thank you for the staff. And for our new staff, Yishim, who was very good for her first, for her beginning, if you want. She's beginning now with us. And thank you, Thierry, for your presentation. Thank you, Ariel, also for your presentation. Heidi, thank you very much. And interpreters, if there is interpreters, I don't know. Thank you all, and bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The meeting has been adjourned. The audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today's call.